Uncensored.
Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. $5 game day pitchers of Bud Light, Coors Light, and Miller Light. And $5 cocktails, cheeseburgers, and brats. When football is on, you have to be at Buffalo Wild Wings. Price and participation may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. At Mastro Subaru, you've got guys running that dealership that are stick carriers just like each and every one of you. And because of that, they are giving you a special deal that nobody else gets. Go to Mastro Subaru, whether it's in Orlando or right here in Tampa off of Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans. Tell them you're a stick carrier and you get special stick carrier pricing just for being a Bucks fan. It's that simple. New and pre-owned vehicles, they've got a huge selection. You go in, tell them you're a Bucks fan, tell them you're a stick carrier, and they're going to take some money off of that price just for you. Mastro Subaru with two locations in Orlando and Tampa. Check them out at MastroSubaru.com. This is a real movement of real people. You can't stop this movement. You can tell us to cool it or else it's not going to work. You're self-sustaining.
Fix it, I'd do it right now, but I don't know what that is.
What the fuck? This is Bucks Uncensored. Midway through another week. Not even halfway through the month of November. You know, it's weird. I was angry and then I was disappointed and then I was numb on Sunday and now I'm angry again. You know, we shouldn't have to endure stuff like this. Not only is your football team not competitive in the landscape of the NFL for the last decade, but you can't even play meaningful games in late November and into December. Isn't that crazy? We fucking threw them a fucking parade in 2016 because they ended 9-7. But not just because they ended 9-7, just because we had some relevant games in late November and early December. And it just felt good. Yet here we are just 2 years later, realizing there's an ugly pattern with Dirk Cutter. The locker room's a mess. The leadership is awful from the top down. Question marks surrounding your 24-year-old quarterback and a massive reset button just staring us all right in the face. I don't want to do it. I don't think you want to do it either. But the fact of the matter is, you might have to. Whether you keep Jameis or not. And I'm not saying it's a massive reset, because there's plenty of young talent to build around. More young talent now than they've had. When you talk about the likes of a Mike Evans, a Chris Godwin, an O.J. Howard, Carlton Davis, Beckwith, Quan Alexander, Justin Evans. Yeah. Young players. Vita Vea, who, by the way, the microscope put on rookies, it's amazing how critical, and maybe this is the same way with every team, but I don't care about every team. I care about the Bucks. It's amazing the microscope some Bucks fans put on rookies and very young players, but refuse to acknowledge the fact that older veterans aren't doing shit to help this team win. And that is why a president is needed. When was the last time the Buccaneer organization tried to revamp things? I'll tell you when. It was when John Gruden and Bruce Allen were fired. It was when Raheem Morris and Mark Dominic were hired. And it's when they did the mass exodus of the work duns and whatnot. Kicked them all to the curb. They were rebuilding. They were stripping it down and building it back up. It didn't work. And ever since then, nobody's really made the bold move. From Dominic to Jason Light. In particular, Jason Light. Hasn't traded away players to get draft picks and has not, other than Jason Pierre-Paul, been aggressive to go out and make that big trade. Jason Pierre-Paul has worked out nicely. He's definitely an upgrade over what they've had. There's a legit shot he ends with double-digit sacks. But need more. Maybe we need more of him. Maybe we need more out of him. I don't know. But damn it, if they don't need, they need somebody to come in with a fresh pair of eyes that can say, nope, 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 yep, yep, nope, nope. Figure out the players you want to build around. And quite frankly, no player should be safe in the locker room. Let me phrase that a different way. There are very, very few players that should be safe in the locker room. O.J. Howard is safe. Ali Marpet is safe. Mike Evans is safe. Chris Godwin is safe. Carlton Davis is safe. Vea is safe. MJ Stewart's safe. Justin Evans is safe. Beckwith is safe. Quan Alexander is safe. How many did I name? 10 of a 53-man roster? And I'm not going to cast judgment. And I was talking to my buddy Harold. You guys, most of you know him. I was talking to him earlier. I mean, who are we to cast judgment on the players for this Buccaneers team, especially the younger players? You know, they've had one coach, one voice that they've heard from, in particular, Jameis Winston. And that's been Dirk Cutter. Dirk Cutter doesn't give Ronald Jones, it is, and just as I say it, it's asinine to think, like, they refuse to play Ronald Jones, but they'll fucking continue to throw Caleb Benenock out there when he's getting his ass fucking whooped every fucking play. They'll continue to put Donovan Smith at left tackle and just say, oh my God, Donovan Smith, he's so good at left tackle. I mean, he's good. He's not dominant, and he gets beat. And I think when you look at his size and how he is built, guard, right tackle, both of those would be probably really good fits for him. He's a good player. I don't want to get rid of Donovan Smith, but maybe left tackle isn't the best fit for him. You know, I need a president that's going to come in and say, we got to move on. We got to move on from some of these older players
and really embrace the nucleus of this team. And maybe that means parting ways with Gerald McCoy. Definitely DeSean Jackson. Maybe it means parting ways with Lavonte David. I mean, nobody is safe. And I'm not saying that to just be critical. But damn it. You know, when I look at those players, when I look at that leadership, they haven't gotten the job done. And I'll be damned if I didn't say 7+ years ago, it was right at the beginning of his career, it was probably year two of Gerald McCoy after he had been drafted, and after being able to observe him in the locker room, away from the fans, away from everything, and just observe, there's something about him rubbed me the wrong way. He wasn't the nasty, mean defender that I wanted him to be. It doesn't matter on or off the field. He was the same both ways. And I said at that point, I said, as long as Gerald McCoy is in that locker room and on this roster for this organization, they will not make the playoffs. And they have only come close once. Once since then. It was the year Raheem Morris went 10-6, and Gerald McCoy was hurt at the very beginning of that season and gone for the year. It's the only time they've ever even come close to the playoffs. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you just love McCoy and love Lavonte David and you touch your nipples at night thinking about how, man, they're just so talented. I'm sorry. But what have I said from the beginning? I don't care about specific players, coaches, general managers. I don't care. I care about my team winning. And we haven't won with McCoy or with Lavonte David. We're not winning with DeSean Jackson. We're not winning with Brent Grimes. We're not winning with whoever else you want to throw in there. So, not for me to decide, not for you to decide. I just want a president. I want somebody, whether it's a president, a new general manager, somebody with a fresh pair of eyes that can come in and make tough decisions for the betterment of our organization. And I just think that we have been fucking scared to pull the trigger on those big decisions. Load up on the draft picks. Why the fuck not? The Browns are doing it. The Bills are starting to do it. The Raiders are starting to do it. Just load up on, look at what the Browns have done. They've loaded up on draft picks. And I tell you, they are very close to turning the corner. And if they find the right coach, look out. But they stripped it down and built it back up. Well, they had to strip it down because it was ugly. Been ugly. The Bucs have not done that. They've brought in young talent, but they haven't had a plan, in my opinion. And it speaks volumes that every fucking running back last year and this year has gotten off to hot starts, except two. Jeremy McNichols and Ronald Jones. I mean, I can point at Cutter's flaws. I can point at Light's flaws. I can point at the... I can't even wrap my finger around it. But how does Sean Wilson guy, who's a rookie, get as many touches in a game as Ronald fucking Jones, your second round pick. Well, he must be terrible at practice, and he must not know the playbook, and he must... Well, then they did a fucking awful job of drafting, again, with running backs. They have no idea what they're fucking doing when it comes to running backs. And then, so you don't play Ronald Jones. Sean, whatever his name is, Wilson, gets touches. Caleb Benenock's in there all the fucking time. Last year, you rotated Pamphill and Evan Smith at left guard. O.J. Howard isn't even on the field 50% of the god fucking time. I'm watching the game. My dad's like, where is O.J. Howard? I'm like, I have no idea. No idea. How do you not have a guy who is one of the league leaders in touchdowns and proving to be a dominant force at tight end? How is he not out there a majority of the time? You think Travis Kelce or Gronkowski or any of these other elite tight ends, and yes, I believe O.J. Howard is nearing that elite status already, but how can he get there if he's not on the fucking field? And I still, for those of you that think the Bucs should have drafted Derwin James, and I would not have minded it, it's how do you know that they would have put him in the right position? I mean, who in the fuck on this roster is better today than they were the day they were drafted? Who? Who has gotten better? I see a lot of players staying the same. Mike Evans is the same player we saw, what, three years ago? Or let's just do it under Dirk Koetter. Mike Evans, same player he was 3 years ago? Most likely, yeah. Catches the ball, makes tough catches, nothing after the catch. Okay. Jameis Winston. I don't think he's gotten worse. I don't know how much he's gotten better. Is that on? Well, some of you would say, well, that's on Jameis. Oh, okay. Well, let's go through the rest of the players. I hit the mute button. Shall we? Donovan Smith, is he better? No. Quan Alexander, is he better? No. I mean, you can look up and down this roster and nobody has gotten better. Nobody has been developed. And this is why Dirk Koetter's going to be fired. That, the pattern of losing, getting out to slow starts. I mean, enough is enough. And I was talking to, it was either my dad or Harold. I talked to both of them today. And one of them said, you got to just fire him to send a message. I disagree with that. I don't think you fire Dirk Koetter to send a message. I think you fire Dirk Koetter in season, which is something the Glazers have never done, but you fire Dirk Koetter in season to save your franchise. Dirk Koetter is calling plays. He's going with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's doing all these things. Why is he doing all these things? I've had some people ask me that on Facebook. Why is Dirk Koetter doing all these things now? Go back to a podcast I did a few weeks ago, and I called it Desperate Times. Desperate times call for desperate measures. And right now, Dirk Koetter is a desperate head coach who is likely a dead man walking. And his approach is, if I'm going out, I'm going out my way. I'm calling the plays. I'm putting Fitzpatrick back there. And I'm going to just try and win seven games. Seven games ain't going to cut it. Okay? Like I said, you need a miraculous run to keep your job now. The smart thing for the Glazers to do would be to fire him. Promote Monken to head coach, interim head coach. Tell him he has to start Jameis Winston. And that is the best way to set the Bucks up for next year. Get a true grasp of what Jameis Winston can do. knowing that Todd Monken wants to go out and show that he can be a good head coach, will develop his offense around Jameis Winston's strengths, because again, Monken wants to look good, which means he's going to want Jameis Winston to look good. And you might actually get a better grasp of what your 24-year-old quarterback can do rather than putting him in Dirk Cutter's whatever it is. And here's the thing with Dirk Cutter and his offense. Jameis Winston, as a rookie in 2016, after Mike Evans, I believe, went down with an injury, and I know Vincent Jackson went down with an injury, Jameis Winston was winning games with Dante Dye, Cecil Shorts, a rookie in Adam Humphries, a young tight end that nobody had heard of in Cameron Brate. They had shit at receiver and tight end. Well, I don't want to say Brate was shit, but nobody knew it with Brate, and there was no depth behind him. I mean, there was nothing. Nothing. Yet Jameis Winston looked really good. They were running the football. They were dedicated to the run. They ran the ball with authority. That set up the play action pass. The play calling was 1-2-3 and throw. Get the ball out of your hand quickly. That's where Jameis Winston succeeds. The next year, Dirk Cutter thought, you know what? 7-step drops. Sit back there, long developing routes, because nothing screams Jameis Winston more than sitting back in the pocket, waiting for things to develop, letting him think, and then throw. Yeah, but let's blame Jameis. Let's not blame the coach, who completely changed his offensive scheme to go, which is asinine, to go completely against the strengths of his quarterback and more towards the weaknesses of his quarterback. And that what we've seen from Cutter and his type of offense the last 2 years is not the same offense he especially ran in Jacksonville when he had Maurice Jones-Drew. And again, the Falcons had a run game with Dirk Cutter as a head coach. But now, nope, not here. We're going to abandon the run. Long developing routes, and oh, we threw it 50 times and Jameis threw 2 interceptions. Can't turn the ball over. It's mind-boggling to me. It's confusing to me that is where we are today. That we've progressed to that point. We have some explosive Bucks takes coming up and a mob scene get together this Sunday that you will not want to miss. In a centralized location, we will have a good time coming up this Sunday. We'll give you details on that. Our Cigar City Beer Bucks Uncensored Watch Party at Buffalo Wild Wings. We'll give you details on that and hear some very passionate Bucks takes. They're all coming up next. This is Bucks Uncensored.
Bucks Uncensored.
Uncensored. Justin Pulaski, the Commish, at Commish Online, Twitter, and Instagram. And don't forget to sign up and join us on the Facebook page, the Bucks Mob Facebook page. So go and check that out. Become a member of the mob. Bust out those big motherfucking sticks, light them up, demand change. All right, before we get into the Bucks takes, Cigar City Beer, Bucks Uncensored Watch Party. It's this Sunday, Buffalo Wild Wings, Pinellas Park. Where is that? Take 275, get off at the Gandy exit, head west, about 5 minutes down the road on your right-hand side. So it's just off the interstate. Gandy in Pinellas Park. Not a far drive at all. Centralized location. Hope to get a big crowd. We're going to create a mob scene. Okay? We're going to start chants. We're going to take videos. We're going to do... It's going to be... We want change. And the game will go on in the background. But a lot of it is going to be us coming together. Us uniting together. Yeah, we'll root for the team to win. But there's a bigger picture. Much bigger picture. That we need to identify. So that's happening. Buffalo Wild Wings this Sunday. Cigar City Beer. We love them. Okay? We're going to have a lot of high life flowing. They've got their Invasion. They got their Florida Cracker. They've got seasonal brews. I mean, Cigar City's the place to be. Try that tasting room on Spruce. You'll get to taste some of the beers that maybe you can't find out in the liquor stores. By the way, you can get Cigar City Beer, the High Life, the Invasion, the Florida Cracker. They're all out there. Most liquor stores, most restaurants throughout the Bay Area. You're talking about, listen, we like to embrace our local teams. We love it. When people, listen, local, it's about Tampa, right? This is a beer that is born, raised, and has grown up right here in the Tampa Bay area for years and years. And I embrace them with all my heart, and I'm so glad that they are part of this podcast and a part of the movement and a part of the mob. All right, Bucks Uncensored, Bucks Takes, coming up now, and let's start it off. Let's go up to the Northeast. Let's go up to Long Island. And let's bust out them titties on the table, shall we?
What's up, Justin? It's Mike from Long Island here, a.k.a. Titties on the Table, Mike. So, season's obviously not going as planned, but we got the Giants coming up next week, and that's right in our backyard. So, as you know, I'm part of the Buckleholics Tri-State, and you can find us on Facebook. You know, we got about 800 people that are in the New York Tri-State area. And we're going to have a huge tailgate party at MetLife Stadium on Sunday starting at 9:30 a.m. In parking lot J. So big tailgate party, parking lot J. You just need to get a parking pass beforehand. It's like $20 on StubHub. Make sure it's for the blue general admission parking. And we'll be in that parking lot. You can look for the Buckleholics Tri-State flag and also the Super Bowl flag. We're going to try in sections 21/22 of the parking lot. And once you get into the tailgate, it's $20 a head. Includes food, snacks, water, soda, bring your own beer. And we don't do any of this to make any money. We, you know, all proceeds go to charity. We did this last year when we went up to Buffalo, and we had over about we had about 150 people show up to that, and we donated all the proceeds last year. So yeah, season's not going as planned, but we are still partying up here in New York, and I'll be coming down to the Tampa versus Carolina game in the first weekend of December. So hopefully, I get to chill with you and go Bucks. Well, actually, they fucking suck. So whatever, peace.
Whoa. Whatever, peace, but y'all have a good time this weekend. Mike, good to hear from you. And if you are heading up there, make sure you check out their tailgate party. Love all those guys up in the tri-state area. And hopefully the Bucks can give you a at least something to cheer for. Let's go out to the West Coast. Paris is out there. Paris, long time no talk.
Hey, Kamish, this is Paris in San Diego, and I've not called the podcast since early 2016. I just like to listen. I like to hear everyone else's opinion. But after this Redskins game today, I feel compelled to give my opinion, and that is Dirk Cutter needs to be fired, period. It's nothing against him personally. I like Dirk the person, but he's not a head coach. He does not have an answer to fix this team. And this debacle that we're going through right now with who's calling the plays, who's quarterback, Fitz, Jameis, whatever – defense is complete shambles. It's time. He's in save his own ass mode at this point, and that's not what this organization needs. This organization needs to evaluate the players that are currently on this roster, who's going to be around in 2019 for the next regime so that we can figure this out and actually get a winning organization together. I'm tired of the whole Fitz Winston thing. Jameis Winston, start the rest of the season. Let's see what we got. Put in the kids on defense, whoever. Let's see what we got. It's not about wins and losses anymore. It's about evaluating the players. And it's unfortunate. I was rooting for Dirk. I wanted this thing to work out. You know, he has the offense going the way that it should, but his management skills is what backfires him every time. Every time. How do you put up 500 yards of offense and get 3 points? And it's just coincidence that this happens when he takes back the play calling. That's a man that's desperate. We don't need desperation running the Buccaneers. We need a head coach, and it's not Dirk Koetter. So let's relieve him of his duties now. Made Todd Monken the head coach the rest of the season. Put in Jameis. Let's see what we got with him. And then let's just roll into 2019 and try and figure this shit out. Love the podcast. Talk to you again soon.
All right, Paris. Hey, don't be a stranger. I mean, that deep, powerful voice, people like hearing that in these Bucks takes. What, you think I'm lying? Check out this guy.
What's going on, Justin? It's David from Clearwater. I mean, this organization, the failures begin and end with ownership up at the top. And, you know, for those that don't think they want to spend money, I think that's bullshit, because you don't make mistake after mistake and have to pay these coaches, and pretty much you're blowing your money and you're spending it. They have to find a way to get great football minds in this organization. Someone with leadership, someone with experience. They have to set that in place. And that's the only way we're going to turn this around, man, because it's laughable, you know, what we're trotting out on the field Sunday after Sunday, man. It doesn't matter who's at quarterback. It doesn't matter who's catching the football. Players are still making mistakes. It's accountability, man. And the owners, their next hire, they have to. I mean, if they fire Jason Light, they just have to get someone with leadership, man. I mean, that's the point I'm making. And it has to be more than the head coach, man. If Light does go, we got to get somebody with experience of building a football team, man, because right now we just have a bunch of players out there and at positions, and there's no cohesiveness. Seems like guys are just out there just to be out there. There's no direction. Players are still pointing at each other like, I thought you were supposed to be here. It's a mess. And it's hard to watch, man. So that's my take. And I'm out.
Back.
I'll let you, boy.
To back. Amazing voices. Man. Might as well just go to sleep, but no, no, no. I need you awake, wired, and ready for the unexpected.
Fuck this motherfucking team. I am so sick to death of it. These players don't give a shit because these fucking coaches don't give a shit. And fuck you. Fuck you, Dirk! You basically gave us the middle finger today. Well, here's one back at your asshole. You want to bitch and moan at the media over stupid-ass questions? How about you stop making such stupid-ass fucking decisions? And to think I thought you were actually the right coach. You're nothing but another motherfucking egomaniac. And you know what, Jason Light, I've defended you for as long as can be, but I'm done with it anymore. You've allowed this bullshit to keep going on, so you know what? I'm sorry, but you're part of the problem too. Glazers, if you have any ounce of accountability whatsoever, you'll fire Dirk's ass now. Dirk has shown he doesn't give a shit about you, he doesn't give a shit about the fans, and he sure as hell doesn't give a shit about those players. The stupid fucker thinks he's a fucking genius, an offensive bullshit genius, and can't even score more than 3 points. His play call of having Fitz throw to Quiz in the middle of the field right before half was a big fuck you to us all. I said before the season started, during the offseason, it was going to be a lost season. Well, lo and behold. Fire every one of these fucking coaches. Fire the front office and get Dungy or Brooks in there now. We deserve better.
That we do, Aaron. Aaron up in North Dakota. Just feels so bad for all the Bucks fans, man. Locally, nationwide. It truly is a sad, sad place where we are right now. Right, Lynn?
Justin, Lynn from New York. Just a few observations from this game today. First of all, this team is just going through the motions. I watched it on the field. I see how they're playing. And then today of all days, Dirk Cutter decides he's going to call the fucking plays. We have been averaging almost 30 points a game before today. And we score 3 frigging points. 4 times in the red zone, we come away with 3 points. Canzaro cannot kick a field goal to save his life, but we already know that. Finally, the offensive line kept the penalties down. The defense kept the penalties down. The defense played decent. Payne Barber had a decent game at running back. Fitz, of course, threw his usual 2 turnovers, interceptions. We had the fumble by Jaquizz. This team is poorly coached, and I think the players have just given up. You go out there, you play, you try, and then you turn the ball over to the offense. You try to put some points on the board, and what does your kicker do? He misses 2 easy field goals. So me as a player, I wouldn't be trying to kill myself either if I was them. So if Dirk Cutter, this is for you. Do the respectable thing as a man and leave now to stop the bleeding. Leave now. We have the Saints and we have the Panthers coming up. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I think if they lose next week to the Giants, Cutter's going to be fired. I don't see how. I know the Glazers don't do it midseason, but I don't see how you can stand by and watch this disgusting display for the next however many games left of this season. That's all I got. The Buccaneers have given up. I can tell by the way the players are playing. I don't know what was the matter with Mike Evans today. I have no idea. He should have caught that ball instead of crying about pass interference penalties. Make a play. That's all I got. This is beyond frustrating, and I cannot be positive anymore. And I'm sorry about that, but that's the way it is. I'm out.
Lynn, you're just living by our new motto. Stop speaking softly. Let your voice be heard and light up them big motherfucking sticks. Yeah. Connor's up with us. Hey, Connor.
What up, Justin? It's Connor calling in my first time Bucks take. All I can say about this fucking Bucks performance, absolutely fucking horrendous. We look like a fucking high school team out there. Like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, Dirk Cutter, he's gone. Jason Light, gone. I just hope, I pray that we keep Jameis, because if we don't, we're going to go into another 5 years of no quarterback, because just, but let's be honest, we all expected the Bucks to lose, because we're his fucking ass. We can't stop anybody on defense. They just fucking run up and down the field freely, and I don't know. I have nothing else to say. All I can say, it's a Bucks life.
It truly is a Bucks life. I didn't even talk about this. Dirk Cutter said that DeSean Jackson has the green light to return punts anytime he wants. So why the fuck is he not out there? Andrew's up. Hey, Andrew.
This is absolutely the worst Bucks game I have ever seen in my life. A complete systems failure on every part of this team. You have a healthy Bucks D-line who can't get any fucking pressure on a third string Redskins line. Special teams is dog shit. Can't kick Canzaro, can't kick for shit. And nobody can catch the goddamn ball except for Chris Godwin, who is probably the MVP of this game. I mean, what the fuck? You got these big-ass dudes who all they can do is stop the run. We have no fucking pass rushers. This is bullshit. This is so fucking frustrating, man. I can't even... I don't know why I take the time out to watch these games. They just are so... It's just so painful at this point. I can't do it anymore. Good luck to the rest of you guys. I cannot wait for next season and I guess the draft. See you guys at the draft party. Thanks to the sponsors. I'm out.
All right, couple more, and then we'll call it a day. And get ready for the Bucks big matchup, Bucks-Giants. And we'll be all watching it together. Buffalo Wild Wings, Pinellas Park, the mob unites. Woo! You know what happens when mob members get together? It becomes a mob scene. That's exactly what's going to happen on Sunday. Tim's up with us. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Justin. It's Tim, stick carrier down in Sarasota. Just leaving the game. This team has no energy, no fight. They don't want to win. Just looked at the press conference. Dirk Cotter said he took back the offensive play calling, and all of a sudden we can't even score, and we were in the red zone five whole times. I think he wants to quit. He might as well quit. We're better off. Hopefully we can get it together, get those coaches out, get a new GM as soon as the season is over, because something has to change. Something just needs to change there. Speak softly.
No. No. I refuse to speak softly. I refuse to live by those words. Let your voice be heard and be fucking loud. Our final Bucks take takes us to the couch.
Hey, Kamish. What's up, man? It's Jeremy and Cali. I'm being a little bit quiet here because I'm sitting in the therapist's office. Had to go after that last game. Anyway. He's ready for me? Okay. Thank you. Hang on. Lou? You're my therapist?
What's going on, brother?
Oh, Lou. You don't even know. What? What's this? You got me a highlight? And a thing of Buffalo Wild Wings? Dude, you're the best.
Well, all right. Sit down and talk to me, Jeremy.
Well, you know, Lou, I've been trying to just remain calm. Not let things bother me. Just realizing it's a Bucks life. Same old thing. But about halfway through the game, man, I just start getting pissed.
All right. Well, calm down, Jeremy. Here you go. Take a deep breath. Breathe in, breathe out, and then repeat with me. Fire Cutter. Fire Cutter. Fire Cutter.
Lou, I don't know what that's supposed to help, man. That's kind of making me a little frustrated. Well,
okay, here you go. Try this one. Clean house. Clean house. Clean house.
Lou, man, I love you and all, but you're actually getting me a little more frustrated. You know, this is making me mad, buddy. Anyway.
All right. So here, try this.
Fuck! Lou, man, I don't know what this is going to help. You and me screaming. Fuck! Anyway. Hope y'all enjoyed that. Lou, there's no way I can replicate your voice, man. But we need some therapy, Lou, going on here. Maybe next call-in, we need some therapy, Lou. Hope all's well with everybody, man. You know, let's just ride this season out, see where we go, and... Fuck. It's a Bucks life? Bucks mob on the fucking go? Burn the shit down? Clean the house? Bye-bye! Cutter!
Jeremy in Cali, unbelievable. The next time I head out to California, and I don't know when that would be, but Eric in San Diego, Jeremy in Cali, and all the rest of my California friends out there, we'll have to make sure we get together. Paris in San Diego, right? We'll all get together, all right? Be good. Let's see. All right, so we'll wrap it up now. Want to thank Buffalo Wild Wings, Cigar City Beer, Mastro Subaru B4. It's what you drink before you drink. Avoid that hangover. Drinkb4.com. Headlines Barbershop. Going to see Christian on Thursday. Let my hair grow a little bit. I'm thinking about keeping it a little longer, but maybe fading up the side some, right? I want to keep it tight, because who doesn't like anything that's not tight? Come on. And so that's that. Appreciate all of you. Appreciate everyone that's listening. I don't think this is going to be the permanent one, but maybe a tweak to the original, since we are now the Bucks Mob, where we stop speaking softly. All right? Let your voice be heard and light up that big motherfucking stick. Nailed it.
Go Bucks.